Take your Bible this morning and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Amen. May His favor be upon us. Thank you, John. Praise team for leading us today. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, this morning we'll begin reading 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. And I am sharing these next 2 to 3 weeks about the spiritual warfare that we walk in. And today I want to share a message I've entitled Satan's Tool Chest. We need to know who our enemy is, and so we're going to begin there. In these next 2 or 3 Sundays, we'll be looking at this war, this fight. I don't think anybody deny, if you're a believer, that we're walking in a fight. We're walking in a war spiritually in our land, in our world. And so we come to look at that today in 1 Timothy 4. The old preacher Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he says to this young preacher these words, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to," now this is my word this morning, "deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." In the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. They pay attention to deceitful. That's our word. The old wicked one is called many names, and one of those is deceiver. And that's our word for this morning in this series of sermons about warfare. I received a letter this week from a lady in prison. She wrote a handwritten page and then included her testimony typed out and asked me to look at it. As I read down through, she said, "Pastor, I'll be returning to the church," and she gave me the date many months from now when she's released. She said, "I've been a member at Olive." She said, "I sat in the pews. I sat silently and took no action. And my life turned away from God." As I read her testimony, she was the illustration of turning away from the faith, being deceived by the wicked one. She's since come to faith in Christ, living for the Lord. Say, "Preacher, how do you know it's true?" Because I did some background check. I went and made a visit with family. I found out there's been a transformation in this lady's life, coming from those that know her best. And they shared those things. You be very careful, dear friend. Be very careful. You can sit in that pew and be deceived. He will blind your eyes. The word deception in the Greek New Testament means to lead one into error. He will lead you. We must fight the fight. Paul said it again and again and again in his epistles to young Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Too many of us fighting bad fights. You need to fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 3, suffer hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soldiers fight a fight. You need to be a soldier in the Lord's regiment. And at the end of his life, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith." Amen. He had been faithful to the end. You need to fight the fight, the fight, the fight, the fight of faith to the end. Fight the good fight. Sign up in the Lord's artillery army. Get ready. The old wicked one's going to try to deceive you, but you stand faithful. This morning, I want to help us to know our enemy and see his strategy for a few moments. Three things I want to give us. Look me, first of all, at what I call Satan's target. In his warfare, he has a target. He has something he's going after, and that target is your mind and my mind. He is going after your mind. He is the deceiver. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, then he can work to lead you into sin. When you begin to believe the lies, he will suck you in to sin. You need to think the right things. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, you know these. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, honorable, right, pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's of a good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think or dwell, spend your mind on these things. These things. These things that are good and honorable, just and right. Think there, dwell there, because the mind that is set on the flesh, according to Romans 8, is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. There is a world after your mind. Richard Dawkins, birthed in hell, wrote The God Delusion. Christopher Hitchens, his godless book, God Is Not Great. Going after the mind of high schoolers and college students. In the year 2009, the Atheists Association across Europe had a campaign in London. You'd see it plastered on buses. This is what it said. There is probably no God, so stop worrying and enjoy life. When I venture to Romania, as we go often, sometimes if we're there on holiday weekends, we just take an extra day and maybe spend some time in Budapest or to Vienna. The last time I was in Vienna, I saw these very words written on the walls next to the canal there in Vienna. There's probably no God. Stop worrying about it. Enjoy life. But what if there is a God? You best give some thought to it. Because he'll have the last word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5 speaks to this, where Paul says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, captive to the obedience of Christ. You need to take every thought and bring it to Jesus' feet. I've been sharing with our staff the last 2 weeks. I found this phrase in Andy Andrews' new book, Just Jones. Andy, our good friend, he's been here and spoken for us more than one time. And Andy says this. Coming from that book, you cannot believe everything you think. You can't believe everything you think. Well, you know, the preacher, he was preaching on a certain topic, so therefore somebody told him about me, and I know he knows. Well, number one, I'm not that smart. But the devil will begin to get you to believe what you think, even when it's not true, so you won't come back. You say, he don't like me. He's against me. He don't want me to be there. You can't believe everything you think. You need to bring every thought captive unto Christ. Be very careful. Satan's target is your mind. He's after your brain, he's after your thought process. If he can just get you to believe a lie, he can lead you into sin. So his target is your mind. But secondly, I want you to see his weapon. He has a weapon. His weapon is his lie. His lie. The only thing big about a demon is his mouth. He tells big lies. Oh my goodness, does he lie? He started in deception. You find it in Genesis 2 and 3. Genesis 1, beginning, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he made all of that in 6 days. He rested, made man. We're here. And then we find Eve, Adam, and we find the serpent slinking and slithering. And he comes to the woman. And Paul speaks of that when we read in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. Paul said, this is a verse, in the context, he just drops this verse in chapter 11. It's almost like it doesn't belong, but it really is the bomb that goes off. But I'm afraid, he's speaking this Corinthian church, this church where sin ruined it. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I'm fearful that your mind is going to be led away, and that as he deceived Eve, he will deceive you. Now remember the story. Eve is there. God has said, eat anything you want, except you don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the middle of the garden. You don't eat there. The devil has a pattern. He'll work this in your life and mine. It's always a three-step downward progression. Number one, he'll lead you to doubt God. Genesis 3:1, the first thing the devil said to Eve was, has God said? Did God really say it? He didn't say there's not a God. He just cast dispersions. He just cast doubts. If he can get you to doubt the Word of God, where God's Word is not true, or you think, well, maybe that's so sometimes, but not all the time, he leads you to doubt. Secondly, she stepped from doubt to disobedience. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:6 that she ate of the tree that she was told not to eat of. She could eat of everything else, but she desired that. Doubt leads to disobedience of God. You doubt God, you disobey God, and finally, you dethrone God, because in Genesis 3 and verse number 5, the devil said to her, Satan said to her, listen, you won't die. God said, if you eat that tree, Eve said, you're going to die. He said, no, you're not going to die. As a matter of fact, you will be like gods yourself. She doubted. She disobeyed. And she dethroned to the place that there was no God. Our high schoolers go through this every day. Just things dropped in their life, doubt. You've been taught what to do. Oh, just go ahead. Go for it. Disobey. Before you know it, it's as if there is no God. Listen, the number one lie the devil's going to tell you, the number one lie, this is his chief plank in his strategy. He will tell you God is not truthful. He always goes after the truthfulness of God. And when he goes after it, he replaces it with something else. Let me just name five or six of those. Number one is relativism. He always replaces truth with relativism. He'll say, it's just relative. There's no fixed truth. There's no fixed standard that this is true. And when my granddaddy grew up, things were true. And then when I grew up, a little foggy, and now you can't even remember what granddaddy said. Let me tell you, friend, truth doesn't change. Truth is truth is truth is truth. You say, well, everything's relative. No. Everything's right or wrong. Truth. Have we ever got it by shirt? We've got it backwards. But we must come to truth. Relativism, it seeps in. Secondly comes subjectivism. This is where people begin to say, well, you know, I feel. It's subjective, and I feel that this is right. In the 1950s, no one said that abortion was wrong. Then in the 70s, it seemed, and now it just caved in. I feel like it's okay that we can just take a baby's life, even after it's born. You senior adults, you better be careful. The day's coming. In our relativistic, subjective society, when it takes too much money to take care of you, we'll just, as my daddy used to say, we'll get shed of you. Truth. It's his number one target because his chief weapon is a lie. From relativism to subjectivism, also we have rationalism. That's not how I feel. That's why, well, I think. You know, I'm so smart, I think. Well, who believed you? Well, when did you become the grand thought process? You know, I just think, friend, you better find a fixed standard of God's truth and latch your life to it. Then comes pragmatism. Not so much I feel or I think. This works. Man, this works. Well, just because you think it works doesn't make it true. And after that comes socialism, man centered with God, not just pushed to the peripheral but out, where everything revolves around man trying to do right for man. I went over and sat down to rest for 3 or 4 minutes between services this morning. One of my friends in Romania was listening to me this morning. He said, "Preacher, you left something out." I said, "What is it, Elijah?" He said, "You know, after socialism always comes communism." He said, "We lived through it." He said, "I know. We were in that socialistic society and then communism came." And he said, "The only thing that'll overturn it is God sent heaven, Holy Ghost revival." Amen. And that's what they had in Romania in 1990 when the glory of God fell. I mean, on Christmas Eve of 1990, the glory of God fell and communism fell with it, and it ushered in revival in that country. And that is the need of the hour in the United States of America today. It is that the glory of God would come on the truth of God with the power of God to change the people of God. Oh, God, even so rend the heavens and come down. Come down. His weapon is his lie. His lie that everything is relative or subjective or rational, pragmatic, socialism and communism. God help us come back to the rule of the Word of God, knowing the truth, seeing freedom come in our lives. That old wicked devil. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. But there's a third thing I want you to see. That is Satan's fear. Every army's got a weak spot. And Satan's fear is truth. He cannot sustain his kingdom when truth is brought to bear on it. Now, I want us to think about that truth for a few moments today. And what is the truth? When we have the Lord's Supper here, we hadn't had the Lord's Supper since we did it online. And John and I did it from my house. I've planned to do the Lord's Supper again Sunday night, November 1st. November 1, Sunday night, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we're going to all time change Sunday. And that's the fall back. And we're going to take it in our cars. We're going to come have an outdoor Lord's Supper. Okay? You bring your own elements, or we'll give you some, or whatever, but we're going to do it. We're going to put all the deacons on roller skates, and they're going to pass out the elements. It'll be a night you'll never forget. No, we really won't do that, all right? And, amen. Well, we got a few might could do it, but Sean could help us. We put him on a bicycle. He can't ride a bicycle. We're trying to teach him, but he can't ride a bicycle. I don't know. We're going to gather people all over this parking lot and have the Lord's Supper. And we're working all the stuff out about that. But when we have the Lord's Supper, we always read our confession, the truths that we believe. This morning, look at it, because this is what combats Satan's strategy. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. I tell you, friends, the truth found in this confession will put Satan, the deceiver, on the run. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heaven and the earth. Let me tell you, friend, God is still the creator. He made the heavens and the earth. He made you. And he doesn't make junk. You say, well, I don't like the way he made me. He made you for his good and for his glory. He created you. He is the creator as well as the sustainer. The old wicked one was made for God's glory. He's a fallen angel. You read about him in Ezekiel. We'll talk about that in a week or two. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Amen. Friend, you can say, well, all religions are the same. They are not the same. There is but one Christ. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He's not the same as Muhammad or Confucius. I'm telling you, he is one. He is the only one. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. You say, Pastor, that is so narrow-minded. It's so biblically minded. Adrian Rogers used to say, well, these ladies that say to him, say, preacher, I don't like what you're saying. He said, you think only the Baptists are going to heaven. He said, I'm more narrow than that. I don't even believe all of them are going. It's Christ alone. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, in that miracle birth. He did suffer under Pontius Pilate. They crucified. He died. He was put in the grave, and the old wicked one danced around that grave for 2.5 days and thought he had won. But on the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. He got up. He got up. I'm telling you, when he got up, the wicked one went under. He got up. That's the victory of Christ. And he ascended into heaven, and right now at 50 minutes after 11 Central Standard Time on this Sunday morning, he sits at the right hand, and he's praying for you and praying for me. Thank God for the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again. He's coming again. He will come and he will judge the living and the dead. He's going to come. There's coming a rapture morning. Hallelujah. I've been to the graveside more than I want to go lately. I had a lot of people dying and had a few funerals, but mostly just at the graveside. I had a funeral the other day. An elderly lady, I couldn't believe, she asked me this question. She said, "Pastor, why do we bury people all laid out the same way?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well," said, "the feet's always down here at this end and the head up." He said, "They're all laid the same way." I said, you really don't know the answer to that." She said, "No. I've been going to church all my life." I said, "Well, the Lord's coming from the east. We always put the feet to the east, head to the west, so that when he comes, you can sit up and see him coming. That's the symbolism. He's coming that way." And there was another lady, she's there in our church, and she and I kid each other a whole lot, have a lot of fun together. And I looked at her, I said, "But you, I'm going to put him here backwards, and God's going to have to look you up when he comes. I'm telling you." Oh, we laughed together. So that's the symbolism of it. Is that when he comes, if you get buried over at Bayview, he's coming over that bay, and you sit up and you see him come. Glory to God. The dead in Christ, if he's to come right now, you wouldn't go first. It'd be the folks out here in the Whitmire Cemetery. They get up. Then we that are alive and remain be caught up together with him in the clouds. And those that were left here after the rapture, I'm here to tell you, they'd have church today. Somebody try to preach. It'd just be a little late for you. He will come again. And when he comes, he will judge. He will judge us. You will stand at the judgment. I will stand at the judgment. Just yesterday, my children are here, they can attest. My wife preached her mother's funeral. We just had a graveside service, and Liz put it together. I couldn't go. I had two other appointments I had to be here for. But because of some things, they had to do it on that day. I had a wedding yesterday afternoon. Liz put together the funeral service. I love my mother-in-law. She was good to me. She drove me to seminary. I don't mean in the car. I mean she drove me. She wrote a letter. She wrote me a letter telling me why I ought to go. I still have it. I'm so glad I listened. She will stand in the judgment. She's there today. Liz's daddy, Dr. Claude Bennett, is there with her. He died at 51. And she remarried Dr. Clyde Baker, smartest man I ever knew. They're there together. I said, "No, preacher, that seems like a conundrum. That looks tough. Your mother-in-law's there and she's got two husbands." "Oh, no. The Word of God says that on the other side, we are not given in marriage." It's my wife's favorite verse. Amen. There's days I say amen under my breath. I'll just be honest. Why is that? Because he is our groom and we are his bride. And we are wed together in that place where he will judge us and we will be righteous and we will be pure and we will be holy and the devil will be cast into outer darkness. He cannot stand this truth, so you stand on it. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, friend, when you get right with God and get saved, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church of the living God, the communion of saints. That's what this virus deal has driven us apart, and we can't even sit together, and it's so tough. It's put its fingers into the communion of the church, pulled us apart. Saints need each other. We must find ways to make connectivity. The communion of the saints. Forgiveness of sins. I don't know what you've done, but let me tell you, the Lord God's forgiven your sin in the past, present, and that to come. You're covered. Hallelujah. You can't send away your salvation. See, preacher, even things that are in the future. I said, yes. Now you deal with those in the future. You need to confess them to be clean, to be filled. But let me tell you, the Lord has covered the forgiveness of your sin. Can you believe that? Just the stuff I know about you, I can't believe he forgave it. let alone the stuff that only you know. And the same for me, that only I know about me. He's cast it, the Bible says, from the east to the west. It's as if he hid it behind his back where he sees it. No more. You take that truth. You put it in your life. Don't you just dare believe anything you can think. You say, well, God could never forget. You don't know God well enough. I'm telling you, friend, he forgive you of your sin. The resurrection of the body. We're going to get a new body. Amen. Hallelujah, longer I live. Well, grateful I am for that. Amen. Get a new body, lasts forever and ever. Get a body like Jesus had when he walked through walls. He just think it. He was there. Amen. You didn't even have to travel. You just say Walmart and bang, you're there. Church, boom, you're there. It's a body that's different. It's not like this body. I believe the resurrection of the body and life. Life, what kind of life? Life everlasting. No more dying there. Glory to God. I will not ever get another call that somebody has died. Life everlasting. I'm telling you, Satan fears the truth, and you need to find the cardinal truths of the Word of God and stand on them, put them in your heart and in your mind, and you will find victory. How do you overcome the wicked one? Everybody, take your Bible. I want to show you one last thing before we give the invitation. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Everyone turn there. Flip your phone on or however you look at it. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 9. John the Revelator writes these words, and he said, Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives, there's our word, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ is come. For the accuser of the brethren, don't let him accuse you, the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. And he who accuses them before our God day and night. Verse 11 is the promise. How did they overcome him? And they overcame him. Three things, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of the testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. How do you overcome the old wicked one? Three things. How did they overcome? They overcame because of Calvary's conquest, the blood of the Lamb. Friend, when the wicked one comes against you, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. The blood of the Lamb. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Jesus' blood. Calvary's conquest is point number one of victory. Number two is courageous conviction. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, but also the word of their testimony. They stood. I believe this is the word of their testimony. They took the word of God and they stood on the truth of God. And because of Calvary's conquest, and because of courageous conviction, and thirdly, because of complete commitment, which is surrender. Calvary's conquest is the blood. Courageous conviction is the word. And complete commitment is, as I told you 2 weeks ago, it is surrender. It is surrender. They love not their lives even to the death. Say, preacher, what if we had to die for the faith? People died for the faith this week on planet Earth. They did. Some have to count that cost. It's not come to us in our culture as of yet. But dear friend, if it comes, I pray, oh, I pray that you be willing to lay down your life. To say, Lord, rather than bring a stain on the name into your hands, I commend my spirit. And let me tell you, when you live a life that way, is this song they were singing earlier, amen, 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 amen. from generation to generation, your family and your family's family. Let me tell you, friend, when you're done, and you will be done one of these days, when you're done, all you've got are your children and your children's children and your children's 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 children. That's all you got. That's it. You got influence in your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. That next generation, they won't even know your name. They have to look you up on a DNA test. Say, well, he was a preacher, did what? He knows my name. He knows my name. Brad came to my house Saturday. On Friday, I walked around my little pond. As I turned the last curve, I threw on the brakes. There's two ducks, about 5 feet. I started walking a little closer. They didn't move. It was a stare down. They kept kind of throwing out the chest. I got a little closer. They wouldn't move. I left. There's two of them, one of me. I don't know if they were getting ready to nest or whatever they were doing, but we never had ducks there before. That was Friday. On Saturday, Brad came over and had the girls. I said, we got friends we need to visit. So we took off, and they were still there. After lunch today, we'll find out if they're still there. We got there and had another stare down. Of course, Elizabeth, the youngest, the one with the high note genes, ran straightway for the ducks. Catherine, with the Bennett genes, laid back a little, checking it out. When I'm done, what I've got are my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. And they will remember if Father or Papa T, or that old man that lost his mind. Did he stand? Did he stand? Did he stand? With the blood, with the word, and was he willing to lay down his life? If need be. That's all you got when you're done. And you will be done. Done is coming. You better stand against the deceiver. Don't believe his lies. Lift up God's truth and put the devil on the run. We must stand in our day. He's come to deceive, but you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen and amen. If you've never given your life to Christ, come running today. If you never joined this church, come today. If you're here and you've slipped away like that lady I talked about, you come. If you're watching online today, you text me on your phone at the number 94,000. Just send the word in the subject line, Savior. We'll get back to you. Let us know that you've listened today. 94,000, Savior. We'd love to hear from you, those of you that are online. and would reach back to us. A lot of people still watching online. We're grateful to God you are, and we want you to continue to do that. Come to this place when you feel comfortable to do it. And those of you that are in this room, I'll be standing right here at this table. You come. There'll be people out at the Next Step tables in the foyer. You go right there. I was standing over here this morning. A little girl. She came and brought me an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It's right over there on the table. If it's not the best, it's in the top 5 pictures I've received from children in 5 years. Incredible little artist she was. She wrote scripture on there, and she had pictures, and I mean, it was incredible. And she wrote me a note and said, "Thank you, Pastor, for preaching the truth of the Word of God." And way down in the bottom, you just barely see, she scribbled a little name. I couldn't even make it. I don't know what her name is. It's just the author, just barely scribbled down at the bottom. Now, if I was drawing that, I put Ted up here at the top. It wasn't about her. It's about the Master. I pray your life will be about the Master. Don't be deceived. Greater is He that's in us than He is in the world. Ours is the victory found in faith. Trust Him. Walk with Him. In the foyer yonder, go to Next Steps. Come here to this place. We've got people willing to receive you. People joining, being saved in early church. Hope you'll be one of those today. I'm going to pray. John's going to sing. We'll stand dismissed. And you come in this invitation. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless you. I praise you. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. And I pray, God, you'll help us fight the good fight. Help us, Lord, when we come to the end, to say, "I've fought that fight. And I'm ready. I'm ready." Having been faithful in the warfare. Lord, I pray you'd rebuke the evil one. Keep him from this place. And help us stand even when our world seems ablaze. Give the harvest now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.